able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, full of compassion and mercy, abounding in steadfast love. Amen. Trusting God's promise of forgiveness, let us confess our sin against God and one another. Eternal God, our Creator, in you we live and move and have our being. Look upon us, your children, the work of your hands. Forgive us all our offenses and cleanse us from proud thoughts and empty desires. By your grace, draw us near to you, our refuge and our strength. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us. In the mercy of Almighty God, Christ died for us while we still were sinners. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. Amen. Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Thank you. Glory to God, glory to God, glory in the highest. Glory to God, glory to God, glory in the highest. To God be glory forever, to God be glory forever. Alleluia, amen.
Alleluia, amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Gracious God, your blessed Son came down from heaven to be the true bread that gives life to the world. Give us this bread always, that he may live in us and we in him, and that strengthened by this food, we may live as his body in the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Would the children come forward, please? That we sit over here today. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Hayden. Good morning, Lillian. So I have a question for you. Does anybody know what these are? These are not rocks. These are beans. We eat them. There are some things that are sort of scattered around up here that don't belong. I want you to look for them with your eyes and tell me when you see something that may not quite belong up here. What do you see?
I see rocks.
You see rocks. Sometimes they don't belong up here either, but these are special rocks. What else do you see that may not really look like it belongs up here? What is that? The spaghetti. There's spaghetti on the altar. That's pretty silly. You're right. There's a can of beans. What else do you see?
Another can.
So we got some chicken noodle soup. Y'all sit down for me, please. Okay? And another. Do we get them all? I see one more. Oh, Carter found it. Okay. All right. So I have a question. Why do you think, what does food have to do with God? Can you guys please?
We eat food.
We do eat food. You have beautiful shoes. I love them. So what does food have to do with God? You have lovely shoes too. God can make food. He can multiply food. We talked about that. We talked about fish and loaves and how God made more and more and more. But what do you think this food has to do today with God? Carter, could you guys please? What does this food have to do with God today? In our lesson today, Jesus says, I am the bread of life.
What?
He said, that's right. He says, I'm the bread of life. And what that means is that Jesus helps to feed us. So Jesus will feed us with rice and spaghetti sauce and cream of mushroom soup and all this kind of stuff. And you know what? When God feeds us, we can also feed other people. Right? We can help other people who may need food. So we can help give food. But you want to know something else God does?
Yes.
God fills our bellies, but God also cares for us. God loves us. You love chicken nuggets. Those are good too. God loves us and God cares for us. And that's what Jesus means when he says, I am the bread of life. It means I will take care of everything that you need. And that's pretty special. So let's say a prayer, okay? Dear God, thank you for being the bread of life, for filling our bellies, and for caring for us. Help us to care for others. Amen. Thank you.
The first reading is from 1 Kings chapter 19, starting at verse 4. Elijah went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat. Otherwise, the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll now sing responsively Psalm 34, beginning at verse 1. The second reading is from Ephesians chapter 4 and chapter 5. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath, and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to John, the 6th chapter. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In 1979, the psychologist Ulrich Neisser filmed a video of students who were passing a basketball back and forth. He then superimposed another video of a girl with an umbrella walking right through the center of that activity. When he asked participants in his study to count the number of times the ball was passed back and forth, they did. But in a follow-up question, 79% had failed to notice the girl with the umbrella in the middle of the game. In the years since this experiment, hundreds of studies have backed up the idea that when our attention is occupied by one thing, we often fail to notice other things, even when they're right in front of our eyes. And we don't need scientific studies to know this is true. Ask your spouse while he's watching a ball game if he likes your dress. Or watch videos of someone texting and walking as they fall into the fountain in front of them. If I'm focused on one thing, I can't always see something else, even if it's right in front of me. If I know something without a doubt, I may not be open to hearing or seeing something else. In our gospel today, the Jews claim there is no way that Jesus can be the bread of life. No way Jesus can be from heaven. They know his parents, Mary and Joseph. They've seen him grow up. They may have lived next door to him. There is no way that Jesus can be from heaven. Professor Brian Peterson of Lutheran Theological Southern Seminary claims that the Jews are so focused on what they know, in this case Jesus' parents, that they can't see the truth. They can't see who Jesus' father really is. Their current knowledge becomes their stumbling block. One of the questions raised by the Gospel of John today, then, is how do the Jews get around this stumbling block? How can they begin to see Jesus as the bread of life, the bread which comes from heaven, a bread which comes from the Father? How can they really know who Jesus' Father is? The Gospel of John tells us today that we can only learn or understand who Jesus is when we are drawn by the Father. The word drawn is the same Greek word used when Jesus tells the disciples to pull the nets full of fish out of the water. It's more like dragged. Unless we are dragged by the Father, we can't know who Jesus is. And God promises to drag us. That's actually a pretty good image for me. I remember when our children were little,
We would want them to do something, and they would physically try to stop us. They would go limp like a noodle. Or they would somehow, and I have no idea how they did it, they would somehow become so heavy that we couldn't even begin to lift them up. God sometimes has to drag me too. Sometimes I'm so convinced that I'm right. Sometimes I'm so convinced that I know what's best, that I know how to act, who to love, even who to blame. I'm so focused on what I know that I can't even begin to see or hear anything else. But if some way I allow God to draw me near, even drag me, then God promises to teach me, to open my mind and to bring change to my heart. God promises to take the teachings of God and write them onto my heart so that I will internalize God's love, so that there will be no room for doubt or disobedience, so that I will know without a doubt the truth of who Jesus is and that God loves me. We can't know Jesus on our own. We have to be drawn by God. So what knowledge in our lives prevents us from seeing the truth? Are we ever so confident in our knowledge of something that we aren't open to others, to learning something new, to a new relationship? I can't help this morning but use the example of knowing the politics of another. The political climate in the United States has gotten to the point that if you're a Democrat, you dislike the Republicans, even if they're doing something good. If you're a Republican, you dislike the Democrats, no matter what they're up to. We've become such a polarized nation that we just know the other side is up to no good. And what we know has stopped us as a nation from listening to each other, from developing relationships with each other, and from working together. What about knowing other people, knowing about other people? I read an excellent book, and I recommend it, back in 2006 called Same Kind of Different as Me. It's now a movie, and I haven't seen the movie because I love the book. But I also met the two authors. I met Ron Hall and Denver Moore at a conference in Atlanta several years ago. They tell the true story of the man Denver, who grew up as a sharecropper, which is actually a modern-day slave, on a plantation in Louisiana as recently as the 1960s. Denver lived through years of terrible hardship. He served time in prison, and he ended up on the streets of Houston. Ron Hall was a successful, though very selfish, art dealer who was forced by his wife, Debbie, to work in a homeless shelter. Ron didn't want to be in that homeless shelter. He really knew that the homeless were lazy. They wanted to live on the streets. They needed to get jobs, and they were all crazy or addicted. He knew that. Debbie and Ron met Denver at the shelter, and Debbie was the only one who saw Denver through the eyes of compassion. Even across that deep divide, she loved Denver. Denver said to Debbie, and I quote, "You was the onlyest person that looked past my skin and past my meanness and saw that there was somebody on the inside worth saving. We all has more in common than we think. You stood up with courage and faced me when I was dangerous, and it changed my life. You loved me for who I was on the inside. The person who God meant for me to be, the one that had just gotten lost for a while. on some ugly roads in life. When Debbie was diagnosed with terminal cancer, she charged Ron with the mission of saving Denver. It was Denver, though, who carried Ron through Debbie's death. Ron had to set aside what he knew so that he could love Denver. What relationships have we missed out on? Because we know that other person is one of them. What would happen if we stopped knowing and let ourselves be drawn to God and let God teach us how to love? Finally, what about knowing ourselves? What if we fail a test or don't get the job or struggle in a relationship? How can I, who messes up so often, be loved by God or be loved by anyone? I know how messed up I am. Do we know our failings so well that we can't see the gifts God has given us, which include unending love, grace, and forgiveness? Can I even see another person's love for me? The truth is, we don't know the whole story. The Jews didn't know the whole story of Jesus. We don't know the whole story of each other. We don't know the whole story of ourselves. We think we know. Sometimes we even know we know, but we don't. But God knows the story. It is God who knows who we are and whose we are. When we let ourselves be drawn, be dragged even to God, we can be freed from the chains that bind us, the chains which constrain our thoughts and our minds. We can be freed by God into relationships with others, others we may never expect, and open ourselves to new ways and new thoughts. We can then be freed to truly know who Jesus is. Amen.